Our lesson today comes from Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. And in this passage, it is again after Jesus has risen, but the word is not out to everyone. Hear God's word. That same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all these things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them. But they weren't able to recognize who he was. And he asked, "So what's this you're discussing so intensely as you walk along?" And they just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. And then one of them, his name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened during the last few days?" And Jesus said, "What has happened?" And they said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. And then our high priests and leaders betrayed him. They got him sentenced to death and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one that was about to deliver Israel. And it's now the third day since it happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning they were at the tomb and they couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and they found it empty, just as the women said. But they didn't see Jesus." And then he said to them, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted. Why can't you simply believe all that the prophets said? Don't you see that these things had to happen? That the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory?" And then he started at the beginning, the books of Moses. And he went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed, and he acted as if he was going on, but they pressed him. "Now stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening and the day is done." So he went in with them. And here's what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed and broke and gave it to them. And at that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. "Well, didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us?" And they didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered together, talking away. "It's really happened. The Master has been raised up. Simon saw him." And then the two went over everything that had happened on the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Many, many years ago, there was this 80-foot tall tree out in Milford, Connecticut. It was a beautiful tree, and everybody in the area loved it. And it was so gorgeous that everybody was always talking about it. It got a lot of visitors who loved to come to see it. And then in 1985, Hurricane Gloria blew off this branch. Well, the rest of the tree was still there, and it was kind of disappointing, and people still came to visit it, although they were sad that the branch was taken. But then, an amazing thing happened. The spot where the limb was blown off started to cause a stir, because one of the residents, her name was Claudia Boyd, she looked at that tree one day, and she saw what looked to her like the face of Jesus. And of course, immediately, she started telling everyone about it. She said, "It just absolutely took my breath away. So I told my friend to come over, and pretty soon we had the entire neighborhood over here looking at it." And then word spread throughout the area before everyone realized. Well, the next thing I knew, that tree became a pretty popular attraction. And people were coming from everywhere to see the face of Jesus on this tree. Part of what was interesting is that Claudia, the lady who made the discovery, sees herself as someone, you know, who kind of attends church, but isn't over religious. I mean, she has kind of mixed feelings. She doesn't really read the Bible that much or anything. But there was something so profound to her in seeing this image that just touched her so deeply. And then people continue to come and find hope in it. And there was one woman, for example, who brought her 17-year-old son over to touch the tree in hope that it might somehow cure him of the seizures that he suffered from. Everyone was looking for a way to connect and to find hope in that image. Of course, this is not unusual, right? We hear of people seeing images of Jesus in all kinds of unlikely places, from bread crusts to you name it. But clearly, all of us have our doubts, but we also have a deep longing. A longing to really see and to really know. I mean, we're strong so that we feel better about things. Even as we may like magical things, we also feel better if we can actually see and touch and feel for ourselves. So here in our story today, we have two men. Among the many who were given much hope in the life of Jesus, who were devastated by what they saw as a profound loss. And they're walking along so caught up in their pain, so caught up in their misery, so caught up in their suffering, that they don't even recognize him as he's walking alongside. And it raises a question for each of us in our own journey. Have you ever felt alone and isolated, longing that Jesus would make himself visible to you in some real way? If so, you're not alone. And what is interesting is a lot of times that longing particularly comes in those dark times, doesn't it? I mean, when everything seems to be going well, it's like, thanks God, see ya. We're busy, right? We're busy in all this stuff. We're having fun. We're enjoying it. And then the bottom drops out. Something in our life happens. And all of a sudden, we realize that the ways of the world can't really fix it. They can't really fill that God-shaped void that's in each of our lives. And then we can feel so lost. So we go through this struggle, and you need to know, if you go through this, you need to know you're not alone. It seems to be kind of part of our human condition. And the very suffering that we go through can actually be an entry point and an opening where we start taking things a little more seriously. I know that's very true in my own life. I always saw myself as one who believed in God but was just trying to be busy. I saw myself as being a good person, doing things that, you know, were good, but God was not the center of my life. He was on the periphery. And it's easy for us to find ourselves in that situation. And it's not intentional. I mean, we're doing a lot of legitimate things, right? We have to care for our families. We have to care for our kids. We have to make a living. We have to pay the bills. We've got lots of stuff going on that's very real, but that can also be very confusing about what is important and what isn't important in our lives. Brett Blair shares this old legend about a king who decided at one point to set aside a special day to honor his greatest subject. Now, in this story, when the big day arrived, there was this huge gathering at the palace, and people came from everywhere, and they had narrowed it down to four people that they had to choose. Who was going to be the one that was considered to be the greatest person in that community? Well, the first person that was presented was a very wealthy philanthropist. And this person, the king was told that this man was very deserving of the honor because of all of his humanitarian efforts, all the generous things he had done for so many people. And then the second person was a very celebrated physician. This doctor had done so much again to help others and even had shared his wealth with the poor and was doing everything that he could to help and to be healing. And so the honor, you know, they felt that he would be a really important person to be recognized with this honor. And then there was a distinguished judge, and the king was told that the judge was worthy because he was very wise, and he was very fair, and he was absolutely brilliant in his decisions concerning people's futures. And then there was the fourth person, a kind of unexpected person. She was elderly, she was very humble, very simply dressed, and everybody's kind of looking at each other going, why is she here? She was just a teacher. Now I say just a teacher knowing that there's no such thing as just a teacher. But within the craziness of this world, sometimes, you know, we don't really see teachers for the value that they have. So there she was, and question was, what chance could she possibly have compared with the other three who had done so much, given so much? But still, there was something about her. There was this kind of look of love on her face and just this very kind warmth about her. But there was also something more. Turns out that she was the teacher of the other three people. She'd been the teacher of the philanthropist, she'd been the teacher of the physician, and she'd been the teacher of the judge. Well, it may not surprise you that no, she did not win the prize. Human beings are not that wise. It went to someone else. But it does raise the issue of the dilemma that we who follow Christ are in. We're living straddled between two worlds. We've got this world that we're physically living in, and then the world of God and the life that he calls us to, the human beings that he calls us to be, who don't place their value on the superficial, on the things that look flashy and great and good. And that's not to minimize the gifts of those three people. But often, we hold up only certain gifts and we devalue some that are much deeper. Like this woman, Jesus was a teacher. He was modest. He was poor. He wasn't flashy, but he has an impact that's continued to touch lives to this day in ways we can't even begin to imagine. And so as we're looking at our lives and looking how we're to live, that's where we're to stay focused. Now, that's not an easy thing. Again, with all the distractions and all the things going on, it is not easy to take ourselves away from all the worldly stuff and stay centered on Jesus and on what God is calling us to do. We get stuck. And we're like those two guys on the road. We don't see them. We take our path wherever it's going, We worry, we fret, we grieve, we suffer, even as Jesus is right there next to us, trying to guide us, trying to reach us, trying to touch us. And it's a little bit like that story that he tells, right? The one about the goats and the sheep, and where he actually says, you know, part of it is, when did I see you, Lord? When did I see you? When did we see him? When do we see him? Which reminds me of another story. There is Dr. Tom Troger, who recalls a time when he had to be away from his fiance for over a month to take all kinds of comprehensive exams his senior year in college. And it was really hard. They were very close and very tight, and they hated it when they had to be away from each other. So he was traveling by bus from Ithaca, New York, to New Haven, Connecticut, and he was feeling so sad and so depressed. And the bus stopped at a Greyhound bus station so that they could get something to eat, and he's sitting in there and just feeling like the world is out of control. And it's kind of like this U-shaped setting, and there's this old woman who's sitting across from him, and she looks at him and she says, "Honey, you look so depressed." And he said, "I am depressed." And he actually started crying. I mean, he was feeling that broken. And the woman tried to reach across to pat his cheek, but he kind of pulled back because he could see sort of the dirt under her fingernails. He felt, you know, kind of uncomfortable. And she asked, "What's wrong, honey?" He told her about his fiance back at home, how much he'd missed her. And she showed the woman a picture of her, and the woman said, "Oh, I never saw such a beautiful woman." And the woman told him that she'd been married to a traveling salesman who had long since passed away. And they used to weep, she said, every time her husband had to go away on the road, and how happy they were each time he returned. She said, "Marriage was wonderful, and you're going to have a wonderful marriage. Everything is going to be fine." She suggested he might feel better if he ate something. And so she ordered the last donut from underneath this little scratchy plastic cover where the donuts were. She took the donut and she broke it in half, and she handed him half. And she said, "Here, eat this." And then there was an announcement, and the woman said, "Oh, that's my bus, gotta go." She got up and she left. And Troger says, "That's when my eyes were opened. I recognized that Christ was right there across from me in the bus station. Right there." Jesus is always by our side. And we will see him if we're looking in surprising places and surprising faces. And I wouldn't be surprised if from time to time, whether you know it or not, you might be used as the face of Jesus in someone's life as well. As long as Jesus is missing from our lives, we will always feel a hole that can never be filled. But we have to choose. We have to choose to keep our eyes open, to keep seeing him, to keep centered in him, to keep focused in him. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, we can be lost and not even know it. We pray that you would help us to remember that you are always there with us. May we see you in each face. May we see you wherever we are. And may we share you as well. In your name we pray. Amen.